Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. We want to check in with Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles to get her thoughts on how the city of Charlotte is approaching the outbreak and the new stay-at-home order issued Tuesday by the county, which went into effect an hour and 7 minutes ago. Mayor Lyles, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for continuing to inform the public about the coronavirus. It's so important that we get information out.
Yeah, we spoke yesterday to Mecklenburg County Manager Dina DiOrio about all this, but we wanted to hear from you because you've been kind of laying low, I guess letting county officials handle this because the county handles most health issues, but we want to get your perspective on this. I know that you recorded a video that I've seen a few times on various different platforms in which you talk about your concerns and in which you urge people to cooperate with these temporary restrictions. And you also told a press conference yesterday that you are trying to set an example for the community. So what are you doing that you hope others will?
Well, I am actually staying at home today, and I've been doing that. The only time that I go out is when it's essential for me to perhaps sign a document, like the proclamation that we have for stay at home. This is the time that I believe if we work together for the next 3 weeks, if we can flatten the curve of the disease in the next 3 weeks, we can make a difference here. So, you know, I want to say thanks to the hospital systems, our public health director, our county manager, because they actually had to tackle all of the data and work on the actual systems that needed to be fixed. But now we're at a different time. This is a time that we as a community have to look and help each other individually. It's time for us to work together. So all of those things that we're asking of people to stay at home, asking them to practice social distancing, to not gather with more than 10 people in any space, and then actually follow the six-foot guidelines, that's what's important now. And as mayor, that's what I'm trying to encourage and support and hopefully see us through as a community.
And you said yesterday that you are no longer visiting family members. Is that because you have family members who are in the at-risk population, or just is that just a general rule of thumb that you're following?
I think that it's a general rule of thumb that we should all follow. Of course, I have two grandchildren here, and I have a granddaughter in Washington, D.C., and believe me, they've had this for a lot longer in Washington. She is very, very concerned about guidelines, my daughter and son-in-law, and I'm grateful for that because I don't want to have to worry about whether or not we are going to be victims of this virus. And so that's why the separation is important and the staying at home is important.
So this staying at home order went into place at 8 o'clock this morning, and we spoke with Dina DiOrio about this yesterday. She told us that violating the restrictions would be considered a misdemeanor, but CMPD will not be aggressively enforcing this. They won't be taking an aggressive approach. Are you in agreement with that approach? I mean, if we want everybody to stay at home, and the reason that we have this order is because voluntary compliance didn't seem to be working, why aren't we more aggressively enforcing it?
Well, I think that people didn't understand the seriousness of the issue. I think the proclamation and outlining what's essential is a way that we've just stepped up our education and advocacy. And I am hopeful, and I do believe that our community, the people that live here that have been at home now for several weeks, all of that going on, they will embrace this idea because it's the only way that we're going to be able to flatten the curve. And if we can't flatten the curve, then we have to have more enforcement. But we're also going to have more people that are succumbing to this illness. And so we've got to figure this out. I believe people will understand that we just need to educate and make sure people know what the dangers are if we are not following the guidelines.
We spent over an hour yesterday on this program talking about business and the impact on business and the impact on the employees of those businesses. And we talked to some business owners and to some employees about how they're feeling about all this. And of course, the Congress has been working on stimulus packages. And you alluded in your press conference, I think, yesterday to the fact that the city is considering some measures to help businesses as well. What are your impressions of what Congress and the president have been doing to help business and employees? And what tools in your kit do you have at the city level?
You know, I've always talked about the strength of our hospitality industry. 1 in 9 people in this city work in hospitality. Well, there are no hospitality industries open. The restaurants are closed. Conventions are canceled. All of those things are going on. And so when you think about what we can do, it's whatever we can figure out, because we need the help from the federal government. Governor Cooper has asked the president for a national disaster recognition for our state. We're still waiting on that. The stimulus package is being discussed. We get daily briefings, but we've got to get this, the money into the hands of people. And at the end of this month, people need to pay their rent. They need to feed their families. And at the end of the day, we can't do everything for the small business community. We want to be able to figure out what the federal government's going to do and try to implement something that supports it, making it easier to get the money, making it possible that if they could confirm what they're doing in Washington, we could see where the gaps are. So I don't have an answer, but I want every small business owner and every person in our hospitality industry to know that as soon as we get some direction from the federal government, if we can get something that we can work with, we're going to go right to work to figure out how to make this better.
You have 1 in 9 people in Charlotte work in the hospitality industry. 70% of employees work for small businesses in the Charlotte region. That's a big number. So are you and city council, in advance of knowing exactly what the federal government and the state governments have available to help these people, are you and city council in conversation about what you might do, or do you have to wait to see what they're going to do first?
We are absolutely in conversation. We're outlining options that we think we can do. So can there be a no-interest loan fund? Could there be some ways that we could help with rent as people are having to close up? So, you know, you think about your stylist, whatever, hair, nail, whatever, and they've got a lease and they have to pay rent, but they are having to shut down their businesses. Is there some way for us to help with those kinds of issues and problems that they have? So we are looking at options right now. I would hope that by the end of this next week that we would have something from the federal government, and if there is a gap, that we could fill it.
You said yesterday that a property tax cut might be possible and that the city would be looking at tax relief for seniors and those thrown out of work by this. Have any numbers been attached to those possibilities, or are they just possibilities right now, just an idea floating in the wind?
Mike, what I said, someone asked me about the tax cut as an example, and what I said is we have to put everything on the table. This is unlike anything that any of us could have ever imagined in our, especially in my lifetime. I've never had this kind of experience. I expect that this is the same kind of thing that went on with when we had World War II. Maybe my parents had something to say about that. But right now, what I believe is everything has to be put on the table, whether it's from how do we help people financially, what do we do locally. So tax cut, bond referendums I talked about, how do we delay, how do we spur economic growth with governmental funding. So how do we make it possible for us to be a full player in this recovery? You know, most businesses have contingency plans for recovery. I think we're working on a contingency plan for recovery in our city, and that's what we're going to do.
I mean, no one anticipated this. You're right. And when you became mayor, when you ran for mayor, and all the mayors who preceded you were mayors of a city that is extremely prosperous, and no one really thought anything like this could or would happen. But were there no plans at all for something like this? Nothing on a shelf someplace that you can pull a book out and look at and say, well, they planned for something like this in, 2001. There's nothing like that, right?
No, I actually think that when you look at our successes all the way from, I'm going to use my first one, Hugo, this community came together. We have systems in place for reporting, working with the federal government. We've built great relationships with our governor. So all of these things that we've done and learned from our past. And then the worst one was 2008 when we had the housing crisis. We have learned a lot about what that means. So you know, looking at how do we make sure that people stay in their houses. When the city made the commitment for $1 million to the CLT MET, CHAR-MET recovery fund, it was with the idea that we know that rent and mortgage payments are going to have to be made. And how do we ensure that? Well, the city said that we would not turn off anyone's water. How are we going to pay the? How will we get people to pay those bills at the end of this crisis? We're going to have to be prepared locally to address this. And I think some of the learnings from our natural disasters, like, you know, the hurricanes and flooding, are going to help us do that.
Okay. Access to tests is improving, and that's partially why numbers are rising. More people are certainly aware of COVID-19. Do we have enough tests? No one can seem to answer this question. Do we have enough tests? Do we, in fact, want to test more? Is that important? As far as you know, are our hospitals ready to handle this? Or do we, like New York City, face a shortage of supplies and equipment and beds should things rise precipitously?
You know, we have a group of people that are professionally linked to every decision that we made, and that includes both of our major healthcare systems, Atrium and Novant, in the city. And every morning they meet. And this guidance that we're having on the stay at home for 3 weeks is absolutely essential to those healthcare systems to allow them to determine what the needs are and where we're going with it. So think about it. When we started out, we had, you know, we would double the number of positive tests and cases. And yesterday we went from 160 to today 170. Is that a trend that we can follow? What does it mean? So I'm going to leave that up to the healthcare providers and the public health director to make that kind of decision. But if you watch the news just like I do nationally, you know it's spotty. You know that it's not consistent across the country. And everyone needs equipment, and everyone is asking for it. And it doesn't seem to have a systemic way to be addressed.
We have about 90 seconds left, and I have two questions I want to get answers to. Mm-hmm. One is, you're on a White House task force. You meet up in Washington regularly. Have you been in contact with the president or the administration on this to make sure that? Go ahead.
We have been in contact with the White House. The very first calls that we made were around our equipment needs from the healthcare system, and we've seen that increase. So we've done that. But I think that what we've been really working with is with the governor's office to make sure that we supported the declarations and his submissions to the federal government. I've talked to almost every member of our federal delegation, Tom Tillis. I've spoken with Dan Bishop. All of us are trying to pull the resources that we need for our state and our city. You know, Charlotte is one of 13 cities right now under the stay-at-home order. So we're not alone, but we do need to remember to focus that there are no lines on a map that you can't cross with a car or a person walking or running. And so talking to Mayor Durch in Concord was an important step for us. And now Cabarrus County is going to do stay at home at 5 o'clock today. I've met with, talked with almost every large city in our state mayor, and we are pulling this together to do it in a way that we can be first consistent, and that we share the resources that are necessary for to keep North Carolina safe.
And with that, I have to let you go. Thank you for joining us, Mayor Vi Lyles. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.